Christmas. It means many different things to many different people. But if you condense the many meanings of Christmas down to just one simple truth, you'll always end up with four words. Over and over and over again, four words. God is with us. The Holy God of Israel, wrapped warmly in humanity, is crying real tears in a real city with real parents who are trying their best to take it all in. God is with us. He's on our planet, on our countryside, in our manger. Emmanuel, the very name the angel speaks, is now given to Jesus because God is with us. Fast forward 2,000 years. The four words that changed history can now change us. Those four words are the only words that can bring meaning to the deepest places of our hearts. For the woman whose husband walked out on her and who continually struggles to pick up the pieces. For the elderly couple who can no longer care independently for themselves and who must now rely on the care of others. For the man who watches as all of his friends get married off and who painfully wonders if there's any woman out there who will ever take an interest in him. For the person who is seeking truth and looking hard at Jesus as a possibility. You are not alone. You never have been, and you never will be. Because God in Christ wrapped himself in human flesh, stepped out of eternity and into time, and chose a cave in Bethlehem to communicate one simple, abiding truth. God is with us. And those four words have the power and the beauty to change every waking moment.
There. Is that better? Hello. This is my tech week, I guess. So we've heard this morning about expectation. That's been the theme, expectation of Emmanuel, God with us. And what is the hope? What is the hope of God with us? What is our expectation? You know, often as I look at things, expectations are very important. With expectations that aren't met, we can have anger, we can have frustration. So it's very important for us to have the right expectations, isn't it? In our relationships, of the church, of others, in our marriages, expectations matter. And if they're not in the right place, they can lead us to some dangerous and scary places. So as we are looking at this idea of Emmanuel and God with us, I would like for us to take away this idea of adjust your expectation of God with us. Adjust your expectation of God with us. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is a very familiar portion of the Christmas story. And if you want to read with me, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This prophecy that it speaks of is from Isaiah chapter 7, and this was given to one of the kings of Israel and as a sign. And actually that king had said, the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, ask the Lord for any sign. Imagine if someone said to you, ask God anything. He said, whether in the highest heights or the lowest depths, ask God for a sign. And King, I think it was, believe Ahaz, said, I won't put the Lord to the test. I won't ask God for a sign. And so then he says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall be with child. And so we see this prophecy now being fulfilled down the road quite a ways. And in light of this, Emmanuel, God with us, I was thinking about that. What does Emmanuel, God with us, mean? And in light of adjusting our expectations of God with us, there's three ways God with us surprises us. First, expect the uncomfortable nearness of God with us. Second, expect the unbearable nearness of God with us. And finally, expect the blessed nearness of God with us. You may say, why would God with us be something that's uncomfortable or unbearable? I think more of the blessed side. But as we look through Scripture, when God gets close to us, it is uncomfortable. It can be unbearable, but there's also great blessing in it. So let's unpack this a little bit. And we see this in the Christmas story. So number one, expect the uncomfortable nearness of God with us. I remember some years ago, I came and when Jerry was pastor here, and he had a play where they had different members of the Christmas story and how the Christmas story inconvenienced them. Do you guys remember that? There was the innkeeper. There was the mother in Bethlehem who had lost her child. Her child had been killed. And then there was Joseph, I believe. And so as we look through this Christmas story, let's look at Joseph. How was God coming near uncomfortable for Joseph? It was, right? We see in this passage, he had his betrothed wife who is now pregnant, not by his hand. And even in that society, how much more difficult was it to have an unwed mother? You know, here in our society, we see that quite a bit more. But then it was very shameful. He was trying to figure out, how do I put this woman away without shaming her? But I don't know. You know, she's saying it was God. I don't know if I believe that. Because that doesn't happen, right? And so Joseph's reputation was pretty much shattered. And we may say, well, yeah, look at Joseph. But think of Mary. How was God coming near uncomfortable for Mary? Wow, she her reputation was shot. Who's going to believe that God has conceived this child? Yeah, she could have died. Yeah, so it was very uncomfortable, God getting near. And we could just look at character after character. So God with us is an inconvenience with us. That's one aspect of being uncomfortable. Second aspect of being uncomfortable is God with us reveals us. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, it's interesting. When they finally go to the temple, there's a fellow there that gives a prophecy to Mary. And it's interesting that what this prophecy says, this idea of the God with us, Luke 2:34, Simeon says this to Mary. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So the uncomfortable nearness of God with us is God near to us forces us to deal with all our facades and our masks. He knows. He knows what's going on. He reveals the heart. I don't know if you've had that. As you've read Scripture, as you've come into the presence of the Lord, he doesn't let us play games with him, does he? So the idea of God close to us is uncomfortable because he deals with all the falseness in us. He deals with all the lies, all the things that we do to cover ourselves up. A third aspect of God, the uncomfortable nearness of God, is God with us thwarts us. And we see this in Matthew chapter 2 with the story of Herod. And I always find this interesting. It says here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, that the wise men had come, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod's idea of him being king was being thwarted by God coming near. God with us. The uncultural nearness of that is that we have to decide who's in charge. Is God in charge or am I in charge? Him coming close forces that issue for us. There's an uncomfortable nearness. And that moves us on to the second aspect of this message is expect the unbearable nearness of God. Not only is it uncomfortable that God is near, but sometimes it can be unbearable. That we see this idea of the holiness of God. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in God's presence, when they sinned, they hid from God's presence, right? It says in Genesis 3, 8, and 9, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" When sin entered the picture, God being close was unbearable. They had to hide. And we see at Mount Sinai, when the Israelites were at the base of Mount Sinai, they were meeting God. Here's what they said in Exodus 20:18. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. They didn't want to get near God. And said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." So there's an unbearable nearness of the holy God. Peter on the ocean, he was in Luke chapter 5. Jesus had got out into the boat. They had been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. And after Jesus speaks to him, he says, "Why don't you go out in deeper water and throw out your nets?" And Peter says to him, "Well, we've been doing it all night, but because you say so, I will do it. I'm the fisherman here." And when he had finished, it says in Luke 5, 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in the deep water, let the nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And then they get such a huge catch that the boat is sinking. Imagine that, Christian, getting that big a catch. Christian would be like, "Yeah, I saw you catch that bass that one time, and that might have sunk a boat." But And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." There was unbearable nearness as he came in the presence of God. Another aspect of the unbearable nearness is the call of God. Jesus' call in Matthew 10, God, when he gets close, he calls us to die to ourselves. There's a difficulty in getting near to God. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And we even see that there's an unbearable nearness for Mary. And Simeon, he says to her at the end of that prophecy I just read, "A sword will pierce your own soul as well." So God getting close to us, what I hope to communicate today is it's not just this cute little baby in a manger, not just a little idol we can put in our pocket to help us when we're in trouble. God near to us, it means that he is the Lord. He is the creator of the universe. And he calls us to himself. He calls us to bow before him. He calls us to worship him. We are not in charge anymore. He is the one calling the shots. And that is uncomfortable. It is at times unbearable if we are trying to be in charge. But here's the good news. So you've heard some of the hard news. The third aspect here is expect the blessed nearness of God with us. When Jesus came in the form of a baby, he is a God who has experienced the human condition. God has come in flesh. If you ponder that, I encourage you during this Advent season to consider this idea. If you have a little baby, like Karen's holding back there, a little baby. I remember when my kids were just babies, holding them and thinking that during Christmas season that, wow, Jesus was this size once. I don't know if you've ever done that. And it kind of blows your mind that You know, he didn't come out a fully formed adult, you know, like some of these icons you see where it looks like the baby Jesus has like an adult face or something. That's not what happened. He experienced everything it means to be human. So God with us, he has walked in our steps. Hebrews says we have a high priest who understands what we go through. The blessed nearness of Christ being incarnated is that he understands what you and I are going through. He has walked in our steps. The second aspect of that is a God who can live with us without destroying us. Because Christ came and we can be in Christ, as we've been talking about in Ephesians, we can get near to this God who is unapproachable because we are in Christ. We've talked about that. So we can get near God through Christ without being destroyed. We have our sins washed away. We are purified. We are declared righteous. So Jesus coming and God with us in that way allows us to be close to God the Father. It's a blessed nearness. And lastly, a God who has come to save us. Every other religion in the world is about mankind getting to God. Christianity is about God coming to us. God realizing we could not save ourselves, he came to save us. And that's a hard recognition if you've based your whole life on trying to earn merit, trying to be worthy, to realize that, no, you need a salvation, you need a Savior. I remember sharing, we once lived with an elderly woman when we were in seminary, and sharing the gospel with her, and her whole life she had tried to be a good citizen, had tried to earn her way, and the hardest part for her to accept was the fact that she was a sinner because she was trying to earn her way to God. She did not think that God needed to save her. So God, that's one aspect again of the uncomfortable nearness, right? That we need a Savior, but it's also blessed because it's accessible to you, each and everyone here. So as you think of Emmanuel this season, I hope it will hit you in different ways from different sides. That's what we tried to do today. That it's going to be uncomfortable that God's near because he's going to call for change. It may be unbearable if you're unwilling to bow the knee to him. It may be unbearable. It says that at his second coming, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. We have a time period now but which we can choose to bow before him. We can choose to call him Lord and Savior. It says in the Bible that today is the day of salvation. So maybe you have never bowed the knee. Maybe you've never called him Lord and asked him to be your Savior. Well, the Bible says today is the day you can do that. And it's very simple to respond to Christ, to say to him, Lord, I need you. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be my Lord, and I accept what you did for me on the cross. It's that simple. But then, as many of us know, it's a walking of that out each day afterwards. And I hope, lastly, that you will experience the blessed nearness. As we saw in that video, God is with us. You never go anywhere alone. If you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you are not alone. He has given you his Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, and you do not have to walk this life alone. And one of the other aspects of that is he's giving you his bride, the church, to not walk alone in a physical way. You know, you have people, and we're going to be breaking after this bigger service into what we call circle church groups, and that's a chance for you to get to know people on a little deeper level, to process what we've talked about today and say, how is this going to change how I live this week? And to pray for one another, and also to challenge one another. How am I going to be sharing this good news in my workplace, in my family? And I would like you guys to pray for me in this. So we're just going to watch, in closing here, this video. It's a song by Francesca Battistelli, and it's called You're Here. And I would just encourage you during this time to prayerfully just rest in the presence of God with us and what that means to you. All right, let's play that. Thank you.
Hold on now, gotta take a deep breath. I don't know what to say when I look in your eyes. You made the world before I was born, but here I am holding you in my arms tonight. Nowhere, nowhere, Jesus, sorry, man. Could have left us on our own, but you're here. I don't know how long I'm gonna have you for, but I'll be watching when you change. Someday you're gonna stretch them out and save us all.
Thank you that you came. Lord, just let that settle in here as we are focusing in on the Christmas story, on the Advent, the first coming and second coming of you, Jesus. What it means that God is with us. And Lord, we thank you that you made a way for us to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.